This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings and welcome back to another episode of the Galaxy Wars podcast with Jim and Tom. And this episode, we're going to be flexing our karate muscles as we talk about karate and kids and California. It's going to be a whole lot of fun because this is our Cobra Kai Season 3 review episode. But we've got some other stuff on the docket because, you know, as we do, we watch a lot of things as much as we possibly can given this time. And right now, we're in the midst of Snowmageddon 2021 in New Jersey. And we're going to get like a foot of snow, so we might be able to watch some more stuff. Over this week, I can tell you that I watched two movies. I watched Palmer on Apple TV with Justin Timberlake and June Squibb. It was a nice little heartfelt story. He's actually a pretty decent actor, so I recommend that one.
Yeah, he turned out better than everybody thought he would.
Yeah, and then I watched Little Things, The Little Things with Denzel, Rami Malek, and Jared Leto.
Yeah,
a lot of people are roasting it and saying it was terrible. Like, not even an Oscar-worthy cast could pull that out of the mud, but I actually liked it.
I'll give it a shot. It's like early 90s, right? Early 90s crime drama, something like that?
Yeah, they're hunting a serial killer.
Okay.
Which is, like, right up our alley.
I'll give it a shot and I'll watch it. But you have the three guys you mentioned, Leto, Malik, and Denzel. Each of those guys, in my opinion, except for Leto, he's let me down a lot. But those guys, I mean, that's three like major Oscar winners.
Yeah.
And considered the best of the best. In Denzel's case, he might be one of the best actors ever.
Yeah.
So it's lofty expectations, but, yeah, you know.
I think a lot of people were really hyped up because of the cast. And when they watched it, they were like, this is going to be blood and guts, gruesome, serial killer, all the above. Like, we're getting, like, they're hunting Ed Gein or something. They're not. Like, they're hunting a serial killer. It's on the lines of what Jake Gyllenhaal's movie Zodiac was like.
Okay.
You know, where sometimes it feels like you're slogging through it because it's long and you got to wait for these events to play out. It's an over 2-hour movie. I recommend it. I thought it was fun, but it's sitting at 42 on Rotten Tomatoes right now. Which was a little surprising when I saw that. I was like, oh, this is going to, I thought like 100% it was going to come out the gate with that cast. But.
Yeah, well, that might be the thing, too, is like those three guys doing a dramatic movie, they might be hard for them to like make it good, you know, for them to give each other a chance to like not, you know, outshine the other guy.
Yeah, and there's so, I guess there's so many expectations for those three going in there, like, and I don't know. I know that Danny DeVito was supposed to direct it at one point, and I think that would have been an Oscar nom right there, 100%. If he directed it, like Rhea Perlman would have been in it, it would have been fantastic.
You know what I watched, and this is actually an older movie now, but it was weird. Nicole was like, I want to watch this. And I was like, all right. Cause she hadn't watched it. But The King of Staten Island.
It was good, right? Like,
yeah. I didn't give it a chance. I thought, you know what? It's not going to be good. You know, it's how can it be good? But, I was actually really surprised about how good, I mean, they're douchebags, but in kind of a good way, you know? And
yeah. I feel like when you're playing yourself, you don't really have to act.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he basically is like a toned down version of himself.
Yeah. But he's just playing himself before Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Which.
But yeah, I was actually surprised that it came out as good as it did.
Yeah. That was a surprise for me as well. I actually liked it a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
I also want to talk before we get into WandaVision about a name that we haven't heard in a while, and that's Stephen Amell.
Mm-hmm.
If it's been like a year since we talked about him. He's got a new show coming out called Heels, and he posted a picture today with his new workout buddy, and it's CM Punk.
Really?
Yeah, and he said that he's set to appear in it. Phil Brooks is going to appear in Heels.
That son of a bitch. Because he did. Did you listen to CM Punk's or look at his Twitter like a little bit ago? And people are asking where he's been, and he's like, I've been quarantining because I have a new job.
Yep.
And they were thinking, oh, shit. you know, he's coming out number 30 or, you know, whatever. And I thought he might be making a return to
I still
backstage.
Think it's going to happen. Yeah. I think he's coming out Royal Rumble tonight as we record this.
Maybe.
We'll because see. Why not? Like, just come out there and get your glory one moment, and then you can go work out. But I know this heel show shaping up to be pretty damn good.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to see it. I mean, we would have watched it anyway, but...
Yeah, Cody's going to be in it. Phil Brooks now. Alexander Ludwig's in it, and he's huge. So, from like, he was, Ragnar from Vikings, right?
Yeah,
so he's in it. It's going to be a great show. But let's go into WandaVision. We talked about first three episodes last week. We got episode 4, so spoiler territory from here on out for the rest of the entire podcast. Because we're going to spoil this, and we're going to spoil Cobra Kai. What did you think of this We Interrupt This Program episode?
This one, I mean, we didn't call, well, I don't remember. You kind of called for this to happen right away. I thought it was going to be later on. But they do have to get into exposition describing what's going on in the outside world. So, yeah, this is probably great timing. But we got so much so fast.
Yeah.
And it wasn't – you had to pay attention to know what's going on. But, yeah, there was just so many – there's concepts and characters being introduced. And we find out – what happened in all these people's lives and where they went, you know, who they expanded so much more on the blip. Now they're calling it, and how nobody realized they were just popping up right where they were. No matter, you know, I never thought about like, oh, they just showed back up, but you know, they show it.
Yeah. We only got like a little bit of exposition about that in Far From Home. Do you remember when, I think what they were playing a basketball game and the marching band showed up in the middle of the court. Like they were re-blipped. But that was it. It was like just Betty Brant on the news talking about it. That was all it was.
This we get like people showing up in their, you know, hospital rooms and houses and life went on, you know, and it kind of that thing, you know, and the them showing the chaos of them, everybody coming back, kind of just goes to show you, like, I know why he did it, and, you know, I'm not going to doubt Tony, but it was kind of selfish to say, like, we have to progress 5 years. You know, that has to stay there. Because I think that screwed up everything. That screwed up the timeline. It didn't erase. Everybody had to move forward into this chaotic, weird situation, but... You know, he wanted to keep his daughter. You know, everybody would do the same exact thing. I would. Everybody else would. So, I get it, but it's kind of like you see the chaos that caused. Without, like, smart as he is, he couldn't figure out in that moment what needed to happen. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I like that we found out more about Maria, too.
Yeah.
Like, she's gone now. I was telling Chuck, I don't think we see her anymore. I think Maria is a thing of the past, and I think that Captain Marvel is going to go back on what they said, that it was a 90s event. Like, this is going to be 90s, 95, and so on. I think Monica, Carol, and Kamala Khan are going to be the next chapter of Captain Marvel and Captain Marvel 2.
Yeah, I think it almost has to happen that way. Yeah. It cleans things up a little bit, because... We would have had too many people with the name, you know, too many people being called Marvel at one time. If Maria was there, and you have Proton, and you have Ms. Marvel up in Jersey City, and then you have this and that and the other, so too many things going on with the name Marvel. So.
Yeah, if Maria is going to be Photon, who's Monica going to be? Is she going to be Pulsar? Is she going to be Spectrum? Right. Is she going to be another alternate version of Captain Marvel? There's a lot of congestion there. We did the Wanda Watch. Chuck and I did Wanda Watch episode 3, highlighting this episode. And I think that Monica, once she goes away from Westville, I think, A, she's going to have powers. I think this is going to be the birth of her powers from the CMBR that we see. And two, I think she's going to leave Westview, since she's already in Jersey, and go right up to Jersey City to meet Kamala.
For... It to happen in New Jersey makes no sense unless it could happen literally anywhere. and it I don't think it happened in New Jersey, but the some kind of residual power thing could, you know, ignite somebody's powers. I don't know if we're doing Terrigen Mist anymore. I thought that was non-canon, but
yeah. Well, I think it is still canon because of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that Inhumans show that happened.
But I didn't know if we were talking about Inhumans anymore or yeah. if S.H.I.E.L.D. was still relevant, but who knows what that is. But
as long as they don't call them metahumans. I've heard that word metahumans in every single universe that we watch. I'm so over it.
Yeah. You got to call them goddamn mutants. We have to get to that point.
There's a theory online that Wanda is going to reverse her storyline in House of M, where she said no more mutants. And once she finds out she's a mutant, she's going to say, where are the mutants? And they're all going to come back or show up.
I don't know. There still has to be something that brings the mutants out. I don't know. They haven't even, well, realistically, I mean, this is the first thing we've seen in this new timeline. So let's see what else they introduce before we start making. I don't know. That seems clunky a little bit to do it that way, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot that this is like riding on this series, because I went down so many rabbit holes for WandaWatch 3 that, like, I think Fantastic Four is going to, like, they already set up the Fantastic Four years down with the astronaut program, and then Fantastic Four gets their powers from CBMRs. So, like, that's already set up. Like, there's a lot of stuff that, like, I think the X-Men are going to be set up, the multiverse, all the new Avengers, all this stuff I think is going to be kind of alluded to in this series. But the big thing that came out of it, and I'm curious to see where you stand with this, a lot of people don't think it's Mephisto anymore. I think they bit right on that hook at the end that when Monica says it's all Wanda.
I still think it's all Wanda. All that's going on in there is Wanda. Wanda's doing everything.
Even censoring the show for S.W.O.R.D. but not for us?
Because she doesn't want... I think she doesn't want people to see her actually have... I don't think this is all conscious. I think this is all subconscious. Because the way I always read the House of M and that whole storyline and everything else, and when she has the twins, and is she had a mental breakdown.
Okay.
When Vision dies and she finds out she can't have real kids... Then she gets the twins through Mephisto, and she finds out she can't keep them. So she keeps getting these different things happen to her, and she has breakdowns. I think this currently in the middle of her breakdown.
Okay.
And she can't, like, she's subconsciously creating this world and creating ways, like, mentally she's creating barriers and walls for her to, like, her mind is trying to keep her from losing control or doing whatever. And it's creating this world. And I think she is 100% behind everything that goes on in that town.
Okay.
But I think there's people influencing her. You see S.W.O.R.D. trying to get in there and just talk to her. And, like, my whole thing about, you know, the three agencies still trying to, like, get in there and talk to her and figure out what's going on. I still believe that's happening.
Okay.
I do think it's a red herring to say, oh, it's all Wanda, she's killing everybody or whatever.
Yeah.
She is. That is all her. But people see it as an opportunity to try to take advantage of her. And I think that's what we're going to get with AIM/Hydra. Or I think Hydra more than AIM, but we'll see. And I think we're going to get that with Mephisto. Mephisto is important to the future of, like, of the storyline and of Avengers and everything else. So I still see a good way for that to happen. I think he could be doing is he gave her the kids. He, you know, he did little things.
Yeah, like everybody saying, you know, it's for the children. So, like, subliminal messaging.
Yeah. So all along the way, people have tried to, are trying to influence her in some way.
Okay.
So it's not, they don't create the world she lives in, but they're influencing it in a way. So I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, this is just ever evolving. Every episode we watch, it's like you think you have something solidified, and nope, it's gone. We've talked Mephisto a lot, and a lot of people have talked about Mephisto, but nobody's ever even talked about, like, who's playing Mephisto, who they think could be Mephisto. What if Evan Peters is actually Mephisto and not Quicksilver?
Yeah, that'll be pretty good.
Right? They were like, oh, you know, this is a jab at the Fox universe. We're going to use him as, like, you know, we're going to capitalize on his acting talents. That would be cool.
He'd be a pretty good, I mean, he'd have to, yeah, I think he'd be pretty good as Mephisto.
I'd honestly be happy if Tom Ellis went from Lucifer to Mephisto and he just showed up and he's like, hey, and he's like all dapper. And then he turns into Mephisto. I thought that'd be fantastic. But there's a lot there, man. I'm just, I'm curious to see what happens in episode 5 because we're halfway to the end. I've, like I said, I went down a lot of rabbit holes. Some of it involves like Master Pandemonium and the High Evolutionary. Like I've just like, I've bit on names. Like I'm still attached to Herb. Like, I don't think he's John Collins. I actually think that he's somebody else. I don't care about Beverly. They told us who Beverly was. I don't have any idea. Don't care about her. Didn't even notice her. But there's Agnes that they haven't revealed, and there's Dottie. Yeah. So Dottie's definitely bigger in the scheme of things, and she's getting speaking roles in every single episode from 2 to 4. So I think next episode we're going to break her down a little more.
Yeah, I think she's obviously – I still think she's – you know, each one of them has their... The Agnes kind of makes more sense with... Kind of makes more sense aligning herself with Hydra, in a way.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, because she's never been all good. She's had moments where she's been either. And then I still think Dottie could be possessed, or could be a Spawn, or could be Mephisto herself.
A lot of people are thinking that she's another sorceress. I can't remember her name in Marvel lore, but they're thinking that she's a sorceress. There's a blonde sorceress out there that a lot of people are thinking that Dottie could be.
What's Enchantress with a...
No, it wasn't her. I think it started with an A or a C. I can't remember the name, but Enchantress, she should show up somehow, but I think that they're just trying to distance himself from Suicide Squad's version of Enchantress.
Yeah.
For a while, but this is still, man, this show gets better and better every time we watch it. It's amazing.
I think they could do something along the lines of, in every movie and TV show we get from here on out, they could start introducing somebody that has powers.
Yeah.
They could, let's say we're dealing with magic at some point. Introduce magic. Then you could eventually introduce Colossus. Introduce all these people at some point that all have some kind of crazy power. And then you have the... You have maybe Steve or whoever's running the Avengers, Thor, or somebody looking for a way for them to go find a place to live.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we can't force these kids to be Avengers. We don't know how to deal with their powers. We have to find a place for them to be. And then that's like the creation of X-Men in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it only had to span, like, 5 movies or whatever. And we're getting 5 movies in the next 2 years. So it's not that crazy to think you could introduce people along the way.
Yeah, they have to introduce people. And we've talked about them introducing the kids and, like, setting up the new Avengers or the young Avengers or however they want to do it. But there's no Avengers movie docked for Phase 4 at all, which is telling that they don't even have a team yet. And we all thought, you know, Ant-Man, Hulk, Thor... Wasp, Scarlet Witch, Doctor Strange, the new Black Panther, if they have one. There's a lot of people that you could go with. They're probably saying, uh-uh. They're not even tied to 2025, 2027, whatever. Yeah. We're going to work on these kids, Kate Bishop, Speed and Wick, and these characters.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, these people that we're talking about through, you know, they... Like the original Avengers, they got their powers through alternative means, like science or something. These aren't mutants. I think at some point we need to start being introduced to people that got their powers in a different way. And let's not say Terrigen. Like, let's go. It's genetic. It's a genetic mutation. We don't have to talk about what it's caused from or what started it. Just we have to start talking about mutants at some point. And I think a good way to do that and not like... And it gets rid of that that whole where were they when, you know, New York was being attacked and all these other scenarios that we've talked about, you know, until we were red in the face. It gets rid of that by just saying, let's create them right now. Let's create the school. Let's find the only guy that you would have to, like, eventually you have to explain Charles Xavier at some point.
Yeah.
But other than that, you say, oh, we don't know how these kids had it. We don't know why they have it. It could be the blip could have caused some genetic mutations. You know, you could even introduce that, like, hey, we got all these kids that, you know, we got this kid to shoot lasers out of his eyes. He couldn't do it until after the blip, and everybody else we're introduced has a blip. So I think there's ways out.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about mutations and energies and stuff like that, and I know on your Wanda watch, you were talking about, you know, S.W.O.R.D. creating Fantastic Four, and I think that's a perfect way to do it. And I think we need to create the X-Men in a way and figure out how we're going to do that.
Yeah, even if it's just subtle dialogue. If they say, you know, you brought up last week about the dream that Thor had in in Avengers, God, Age of Ultron, I think.
Yeah, I just watched it today.
Yeah, and how that could be where Agatha comes from. They have to set these things up slowly. Like, just, if you can, it's just a sentence that you have to say. And, like, we got astronauts, they're working with CMBRs, and that's it. And then 3 years down the line, 4 years down the line, or you have a newspaper and it says vampire sighting in the Bronx.
Yeah.
Or something. And you're alluding to Blade or something about a billionaire from Chicago going missing in Egypt. And you're setting a Moon Knight. You're getting these characters. They could do the exact same thing with X-Men. You know, bear mauled by man in Canada.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wait, is that Wolverine? You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think they can set it up. But, we'll talk. We'll have our own little Wanda watch every week.
I would have liked to have seen, like, at some point a Captain America flashback to him fighting with some Canadians or something like that. You know, or I think at that time he was with he was fighting for America. But we could have all those things. We could have, we could
definitely get a flashback to that, like in a Wolverine story too.
Yeah, yeah, true.
He was frozen in ice too, or
I'm that's not where so, the Weapon X program started. And I know how that, you know, I know they're going to pull it off, but I'm not so rattled as I once was about them figuring out how they're going to get away with introducing the X-Men. Yeah. I think it's just they have to create the X-Men whole cloth. Like, there's no danger room. These people don't exist as they do in the future. These are kids, or these are like teenagers, and they have to, you know, go through the original training, like, you know, X-Men Giant or whatever it was, number one back in 1975. You know, that's what they have to be and have to start from that point and move forward. So,
yeah. And what better way to do it in the first series that's based off a mutant, and that's in the MCU that hasn't been called a mutant. So this could be the launching off point for everything.
And I hope, knock on fake wood here, that somehow they introduce her real parents. I really do want that to happen.
Yeah, that'd be great. So,
we're just still getting Maximoff. You know, we still have that name, so.
So we'll see. But let's go to, I guess, the full episode portion, the main topic, which is Cobra Kai. Season 3, again, spoiler alert to follow. This is sitting 92% on both pillars of Rotten Tomato, which is unheard of. Who would have thought that a former YouTube series would end up getting bought by Netflix and would be sitting at 92%, but it is. So again, we're going to talk kids, karate. We're going to talk the ultimate fan service in any series is Cobra Kai season 3, which picks right up after season 2, which ended with a bang. Miguel gets kicked off we have the ultimate Power Ranger scene, just minus it's like the putties invaded their school.
Yeah.
And Cobra Kai and Miyagi-Do are just going out there, and it's the Bloods and the Crips just fighting each other karate style in this high school. And it ends up with Miguel getting kicked off the second floor of his high school by Robbie, and who before the haircut in season 3 looked like he could be a Lawrence brother.
Yeah.
From the 90s. But now not so much with the haircut. Gets kicked off, breaks his back, ends up in the hospital, and we pick right up from there. What did you think about this season?
Yeah, it does pick right up, and everybody's in a shitty place, right? You know?
Yeah.
Except Kreese. Kreese is killing it.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you could just walk in and steal somebody's business. I guess he's never signed contracts or whatever, but...
Right. Well, when you're dealing with Johnny, I don't think there's a lot of intellect going in there. Johnny doesn't understand Facebook.
Deals. Yeah. And watching a lot of those fake martial arts, I guess that is a reality. Yeah. It was a great season.
Yeah.
It gets right into it, you know, we get some Kreese backstory, which is a nice little...
Were you surprised with the Kreese origin story? Like, when it was, like, 1954, and I'm like, what the hell are we doing?
In the Korean War.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. I like how they don't... He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
He's the very bad... Like, he's the baddest person. Like, yeah, villain.
He wants kids to kill each other.
Yeah.
Using karate.
I think he gets off on this, controlling kids and having kids do their whim. They didn't make him redeemable. Even in his own backstory, he did a shitty thing, and somebody did a shitty thing to him, and he got back to it. But it didn't make him a better person. Like, he does when he, you know, tries to cut the guy's finger off, whatever. You're like, all right, well, that's cool, but he's still a really bad human being.
Yeah, he only does things for his gain, his own personal gain.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he brought that landlord into put the cigar cutter on his finger because he wanted his best student back.
Yeah.
Because he needed a girl to beat up Danny's kid.
And even when he's taught, yeah, true. And even when he, you know, you see in the flashbacks what he does, how his CO, you know, was like, hey, your girlfriend's dead. Now let's go fight.
Yeah.
Shitty. CO is a shitty human being, too. But he then beats his ass, and, you know, he has a chance to save him, and he doesn't.
Yeah, he kills him.
Saving him means, like, you could just save him. Nothing would change. He's just inherently a bad person. And it's what he's the kind of, like, he is our, what is it, our id? Like,
yeah.
Like, what we would do if we didn't think rationally. Like,
he's reacting to intrusive thoughts 100% of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's got no filter for intrusive thoughts. He's just like,
right.
Yes, I read all my spam email. Like, I'm just going crazy. Like, kill that kid at the, you know, go and beat him up. Pull his plug. He's in a coma, pull his plug.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. And he makes characters that are already shitty even worse. Like, Hawk. Honestly, and I know there's a turning point for Hawk, but every time I saw him on the screen, I was like, this guy needs to be kicked in the face so hard that it knocks his mohawk out.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Let's talk about Hawk for a second.
Yeah.
I liked Hawk when Johnny's Cobra Kai. He was still an asshole, but he was a bullied asshole, and he was kind of like, you know, getting his, but... Under Kreese's Cobra Kai, he became dangerous. Like, he became a dangerous human being. Like, a guy that should be, like, taken off the streets and arrested.
He's breaking arms. He broke Dimitri's arm, what, twice?
Yeah. But I was still kind of like, part of me was like, I still like Hawk.
No.
And he redeemed himself, and I was like, thank God, because I do want to like Hawk. I like his tattoo.
Jesus. All it took for Hawk to redeem himself was Kyler coming out and called him Lip Boy. As soon as Kyler walked in the gym, I was like, oh, I'm of course Kyler and Fat Boy are working out with Kreese.
Yeah.
And then Hawk, you know, beats the shit out of him and destroys the fat kid.
Right.
He's just like, go on, go out there and do what you will. But I knew he was going to have his moment. They were setting, like, again, this is fan service, right? It's setting up. You kind of know what's going to happen throughout the whole thing. You knew Robbie was going to fight the bully in prison. You knew he was going to end up going to Kreese. You knew that Kreese was going to go find Robbie. You know that, you know, we knew the ending was going to happen. I thought the ending was going to happen at season two with Johnny and Daniel getting together and running Eagle Fang Miyagi Do.
I still like the way they did things. I'm glad it took the turns it did. I want Robbie to be turn into a hawk, like a scumbag.
Yeah, he needs to be Johnny.
I think he's going to be more interesting that way. If he's out there, you know, breaking people's arms for, and I think it'll be a better character arc for him than this in-betweener right now.
He's really the worst written actor or worst written character on the show.
Yeah.
Because even Daniel's cousin gets more speaking roles than, you know, the only two people who get less speaking roles than Robbie were the two people who were written off the season. Stingray, number one, yeah. The God Amongst Men, Stingray, who should be in every season. But I think he's on a Megan's list now.
Probably.
He's not allowed to be around school because he was beating up his fellow karate students.
He got involved in a karate brawl.
Like when they're like, what about that grown man janitor that was beating up the kids? And the principal's like, Mr. Stingray does not work for the school. And I was like, oh, Stingray, that's the only line you're going to get. And then Aisha. They completely wrote Aisha off.
Yeah. I don't know what happened there. Her dad moved.
Yeah. I don't think they had a story for her.
It sucks. I kind of liked her.
She was like the first. It was her and Miguel were the first people at Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
And just completely got rid of her. And I thought her story was great. Like, she was like that. She could have been. I think they gave her story to Dimitri.
Yeah.
There's no love interest for her in the show, which I feel like there could have been. And then they're like, well, Dimitri, he needs to get with that snobby girl. And they end up doing, hilarious scenes between those two. Like, that's pure high school acting. Like, every time they were on screen, it was, uncomfortable because you're like, they want each other, but, they won't admit it. But I feel like they should have brought Aisha. And honestly, Stingray should have been in every scene. Every single scene. He needs to work for Daniel.
So he needs to sell cars, or he needs to go work in the used car lot and sell old shitty cars.
What did you think about Miguel's recovery? Scientifically never gonna happen.
Yeah. You
don't come back and start doing roundhouse kicks 2 months after being paralyzed.
Yeah, I mean, they do maintain this level of incredibleness, unbelievable, scenes and stuff like that. Just the fact that they have these same 15 kids have had multiple karate brawls all across San Bernardino Valley to the point where, the cops know them and somebody's been hospitalized. And still nobody does a goddamn thing about it. It's perfect for Johnny's continuing redemption story. And it, because this season went way more Daniel than Johnny, I think. Yeah. And so it was good to still have, Johnny's be a little bit like his character. It's like a simpler, more straightforward story. It's friend got hurt. I like friend. I like his mom. Now I have to help him. So,
yeah, I like the father figure, Johnny, much more than stupid caveman, I can't work a phone. They still had that trope where he's a man lost in time, but I was getting a little worried when Allie was introduced. And I was like, oh, he's gonna try and have his cake and eat it too. And then they were she's married, and then she goes, I'm not married. And I was like, oh shit, this is where it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
I was glad that went the other direction. And she had already heard through who is my MVP of season 3, Amanda LaRusso, that Johnny was dating. She's the best in the show. She's so sarcastic.
Yeah.
And there's no filter. When Kreese is talking, she's like, I'm a karate guy. And she's like, oh, is that what you are? You're not a child predator or whatever. She's fantastic. She's so good. Yeah. And she's played by Courtney Hengeler. Fantastic. I love her.
Yeah. Smaller bit of NP, lot smaller screen time, but Chosen from Japan.
Yeah.
And Karate Kid 2.
He was so good.
He's my standout, dark horse standout. I liked that he was for two episodes that he's in Japan for that or whatever.
Yeah.
He basically punking him the whole time.
Yep. Yep. he looks like he's going to kill him.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, let's have a fight, and I'll teach you the inside, the black market Miyagi-Do.
Yeah, I'll teach you Dimmock. five-finger death punch or whatever it was.
Came in handy.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
How, first of all, is karate the fountain of youth? Like, that Kreese can fight, he can fight kids, number one, but he can also fight grown men who have dad bods. He can fight them, and they're the most athletic people ever. But he can go through a panel of glass and get up and be like, yeah, come on, let's go. I'm going to choke you out.
I'll say this. It's been working wonders for Ralph Macchio. Cause
yeah.
He's like 63 years old.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call that, you know, like he's older than Mr. Miyagi or what's his name?
Pat Morita.
Pat Morita was when he started playing Mr. Miyagi. So it's doing wonders for him. I'll say that.
I wonder if he's like, if he goes into training for this.
I don't know.
You know what Probably I mean? Not. Like, are Johnny and are William Zabka and Ralph Macchio like hitting up like the Gracie Baja gym and they're working on jiu-jitsu and karate there? Like, I don't think so.
They can't do jiu-jitsu. They're just like, if they go into a place, they got to be like, we can only learn karate. We can't learn.
Yeah.
But this is MMA. Like, I can only learn karate. They're at like Machida's place.
Right. Yeah. Like Lyoto Machida comes into the next episode. He's the new dojo leader in San Bernardino. Are you surprised that they haven't brought MMA into the show? Like
no, the Jets because and, MMA would MMA like we talk about sometimes, if people would just have a conversation and that, you know, the movie's over, if they just had that one conversation that they just seem to avoid. But MMA is the same thing. It's if it existed and if they talk about it, then none of this makes any sense because, you know, people are going to come squash their dojo.
They're setting up a cool crossover opportunity here between Cobra Kai and Kingdom with Frank Grillo and Nick Jonas.
Yeah.
Like once Miguel graduates from high school and he's like in the adult fighting circuits, like underground karate fights. Come on, man. That's perfect. Nick Jonas versus Joel Maradona.
Miguel is the, you know, top karate star in San Bernardino. Then he goes like, well, let me try to make money at this. And
Dana White comes on.
He goes to the UFC and he gets beat the first day. And he's like, what the hell are they doing?
Wait, they didn't teach me how to use my hands. I can only use a crane kick.
What is all this nonsense? They keep grabbing me.
I feel like they need to progress, though. Like, I feel like once Cobra... I don't think Cobra Kai is ever going to go away. I think season four, which was already confirmed, I don't think that, one, it shouldn't be their last season. I see this going much longer because these kids have a good stock and Netflix has a hot hand right now. I'd like to see them test their wills. Like, they graduate high school and they got to figure out something. And maybe Miguel's like, one, I don't think Miguel's going to be number one karate kid in the Valley anymore. That can't happen. Like, there's no way after what he endured, unless they're looking for, like, a blindside situation where, like, you're making something out of nothing. And he's, like, he is Lyoto Machida. Like, this is the origin story of Lyoto Machida. But, like, I feel like you just can't do all karate when we're in today's society and mixed martial arts is so prevalent.
Yeah,
but I feel like they have to introduce that.
I think that's the beauty of it is... along with us like suspending our disbelief for the obvious flaws in watching kids do a like, why doesn't a parent ever say, who broke your arm? Like,
yeah,
why are you always bleeding after you come back from karate? Like, you know, the 15 kids in San Bernardino that do karate and the news is like, yeah, there's a karate brawl at the high school, and their parents aren't like, were you involved in that karate brawl? And they're like, no, I don't. What karate brawl? Like, there's some ridiculousness, but that's why I think that they build enough of that wall that we get, okay, well, in this time period, in this specific place, MMA hasn't gotten to the masses as far as, you know, the karate kid or Cobra Kai is concerned. They've already built enough like reality buffers in where we I don't think we have to worry about that kind of stuff.
Okay. They do save the last episode for like the Battle of the Bastards. Yeah. Like every final episode, there's huge brawls, and this season didn't disappoint. We had the Christmas party house brawl, where the LaRusso's house is just getting destroyed.
Yeah,
like everyone's getting like. I think it was the first time in the series that the F-bomb was dropped when the little kid gets thrown through the window.
Yeah.
And they're like, what happened? He's like, they just beat my fucking ass. And I was like, oh, God. Like, I'm like, now things are heating up. And then, you know, here it comes. You're just waiting for that Broadway, like, top hat symbol and, like, snaps to happen. And here comes Tori, the most unlikable character. She comes in. Wants to fight everybody. Like, get over it. Like, be friends with Samantha. No one's got, you know, you have Robbie, she has Miguel. You just flip-flopped like you did the last time and just be happy with it. Move on.
I think this is a PSA for how much.
Hope is not a PSA for bullying.
No, it's a PSA for how little we could trust teenagers because they have too many emotions and too much going on. You look, basically, you give them a little bit of power. You teach them two kicks, and they're out there having karate brawls every.
Yeah. Yep. Breaking in the mini golf arenas, and they're
trying to kill each other. They have like, what's her face? Peyton List had that thing.
The studded barrette.
Yeah, the bad guy from a Bruce Lee movie had. So
she's like,
you know,
Shredder.
You just, once the emotions get involved and high school drama gets involved, they start literally trying to kill each other. We got to keep guns and karate out of the kids' hands.
Absolutely. Is this series just turning school shootings into school karate exhibitions?
Maybe it's like, well, look, show them karate instead of guns and, you know, less people get killed.
That's one thing I do like about this is that they haven't teased, nor do I think they'll ever tease a school shooting in this. Like every time you get a high school show where the kids, there's some sort of bullying or some sort of violence, there's that one kid, and it could have been Dimitri. Who's sitting there and he's polishing his AR-15 that he got off the dark web. This one, no. What they're doing is they're unsheathing their nunchucks and they're like, you know what? Next time I see you at the park, we're going at it. Bring your Kenpo karate gear, and we're going to fight. We're going to spar. And everybody walks home. No one's dead, except for, you know, Miguel almost died, and that was scary. But now he's Darth Maul after he gets his legs cut off. He's a cyborg better now. Yeah. All Johnny had to do was learn how to use Facebook and take him to a Dee Snider concert, and now Miguel can walk.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about the concert.
Yeah. You see the Netflix budget going in there. Now they can afford Dee Snider.
Was Johnny like, how did he get here? Like, he hasn't changed a bit in 25 years since 1985.
What? Yep. Just cocaine. Twisted Sister, man. They're injected with cocaine. The end of the season, Martin Cove goes into his... I guess he's sleeping at the dojo now. He's not at the VOA housing. So he's at the back of the dojo, I guess his office, and he dials up a number. And a lot of people are thinking it's the guy, Terry Silver, from Karate Kid 3. Now, the actor, Thomas Ian Griffith, said that he's not appearing in Cobra Kai Season 4, which I think is 100% a misdirection.
Yeah.
Do you think they're setting up Karate Kid 3... Kreese's revenge in Cobra Kai 4.
Well, who's his friend going to be if he's calling his? It's got to be one of those three guys. One is dead. The guy that actually looked like Terry Silver is dead.
Yeah.
So it's got to be that other guy. And I thought, because when he introduces Terry Silver in Karate Kid 3, he introduces him as a Vietnam buddy.
Yeah, I feel like that's just, it's got to happen. Like, he's got to be the one to come in here.
Yeah.
And I don't know where you go from here. Is, like, all season four going to be, like, the lead up to All Valley? Or, like, do we go right into All Valley? And then, like, season four are the repercussions of after All Valley.
What does Kreese say? He goes, we do it the old-fashioned way, a tournament?
Yes. Because that's like, how
I was expecting, like, a knife fight or something.
Yeah. Like that's how, you know, everything's settled now in 2021.
Yeah.
Karate tournaments. I love that when they went to save the tournament, the panel was like, who would have thought karate was the big thing in California now? They're like, who, what, we're here fighting karate? It was amazing.
Yeah, I think you have to bring in, I thought it was going to be Terry Silva. You have to bring somebody in to represent, because you introduce the military guy that he says, you know, anything, anytime. So I think that's what we're going to get.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe he tries to kill him. Maybe he tries to kill LaRusso.
Yeah, maybe Terry is like an assassin now, like a hitman.
Yeah.
Like he's a wayward youth.
Wasn't he like he was trying to like build a
probably auto mechanic dealership.
Maybe. I thought he took over Cobra Kai, right?
Yeah.
In Karate Kid 3. I'm trying to remember Karate Kid 3.
Yeah, I mean a lot of people don't remember Karate Kid 3. I've got my season 4 prediction. Now all bear right. with me because it's a little crazy. Tinfoil hat time with Jim. I think it starts with the Alt Valley tournament. And you know how they introduced other dojos, right?
Yeah.
So I think we get Jackie Chan shows up with Jaden Smith and Aisha. He's been training Aisha the whole time. And who's his alternate coach? Stingray. And they win the All-Valley Tournament. Jaden Smith fights Hawk. Hawk wins. Aisha fights Samantha. Beats Samantha and then goes and beats Tori, and then Hawk hurts himself, so they have to bring Jaden Smith back in, and he can't fight. So Stingray goes in and fights, and he fights Miguel and wins.
I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch anything with Jaden Smith in it. I don't even want to like recognize that the new Karate Kid ever happened. So
it's entirely possible that Jaden Smith shows up on this. Will Smith's a producer.
I know. Doesn't need to happen, though.
So Will Smith and Jaden Smith show up in their new karate dojo.
Because they can't do anything without each other.
Yep. So. And they have a financial backer, and it's Terry Silver's wife, Hillary Swank.
Yep. I'd watch Hillary Swank, I'd watch.
Okay.
I know it was horrible, but, you know.
What if her coach is Clint Eastwood? Million Dollar Baby style.
To be realistic, maybe. I think Terry Silver shows up. I think they should. Chosen should. Daniel LaRusso should fly Chosen in from Japan and help him train.
Okay, so three senseis?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Were you okay with the team up at the end? Like the inevitable team up?
Yeah, it was bound to happen. I'm sure. They're still not going to like each other.
Yeah.
You know, obvious. I think there's going to be obvious moments of, like, them trying to get used to the other one's training methods.
Yeah. I feel like they're definitely going to talk about, like, the yin-yang.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they balance each other. And I think for these kids, it's better because they do have – they have discipline, but they also have that strike-first mentality with both of the senseis. Right. I personally would love for them to continue with the Eagle Fang Karate name. The most ridiculous name. I need that on a bomber jacket.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. But I was a big fan of this season. I'm giving it a 5.
Yeah, definitely.
Very excited for this.
Yeah. And the way they pump seasons out, they already might have, you know, who knows when the next one comes out. Because... it was only, like, what, 3 months in between the last two. Yeah, it seems like it's such a good show. It's weird that it's good. Like, you can't pinpoint what makes it better.
I think it's
than
the nostalgia.
Yeah. And but like, it's not, like, it's not schlocky. It's not, like, a bad thing. It's just something about it. It's weird. Like,
yeah,
it's just fun to watch and, you know, they give you exactly what you want and... in a smart way.
Yeah, and they give you a good cast. Like, this is a show that, you know, we've talked about shows that we wish were longer. And like WandaVision, we all want WandaVision to be more than 30 minutes.
Right.
This show, I think, is perfect at 30 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing about this is, like, they optimize every single minute. There's no downtime. There's no wasted scenes. Like, everything has, like, it's like the cause and effect. Like, every cause has an effect in this show. Like, you know, he goes to Japan because he's going to learn that, you know, that martial arts to fight Cove at the last episode.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes. So they do a good job at this. And I want Jaden Smith and Jackie Chan to show up so damn bad. I think people would walk away from it, to be honest with you. I think people would, maybe that's what we like about it. It's not huge names.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, these people have been in the business forever. They've done the thing. They got famous off that thing. And at no point do they seem to regret spending the time they did in this, in Karate Kid. It's like the actors appreciate where they came from and, you know, appreciate their cult status. Like, they're not angry at who they were or not being able to do other things. It kind of seems like they're in this and I don't know. It seems like that it comes through. Like, you can kind of see that they like what they're doing. So.
Yeah, this, who would have thought in 2020, 2021, the best soft reboot, continuation, revival, whatever you want to call it, would have been Karate Kid.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Who would have thought that Blade Runner 2049 would, in our eyes, be worse than Cobra Kai? You know what I mean? Like Terminator. We thought Terminator could have been, like, with today's CGI and animation, like, it could have been so much better. And Cobra Kai is kicking the ass of all the competition. Power Rangers, this, the Walker Texas Ranger show that's out now. Like, it's just, it's continuously kicking the shit out of all their...
Yeah, I think it comes down to, like, just having a simple formula and just doing it well. And, you know...
Well, you know who benefits from this?
Who?
Big Karate.
Yeah.
Big Karate benefits from this 100%.
Second time we're going to mention one guy. It's like when Lyoto Machida won the championship, karate dojos were like, oh, it's great. Now we have all this influx of people doing karate again. And they even said it's like the early 90s. People think they can come in here and go fight in the UFC, but he's just particularly good at it. But I'm sure karate dojos are having great times with this.
If it weren't for COVID, I feel like every time we'd walk into a grocery store, 90% of those children would be wearing their gis. But that's it, man. Let's get out of here. Next week, we'll be back with... Let's talk Soul next week.
Okay.
I feel like we deserve that. That's a movie that we've already talked about after we've seen it. We both enjoyed it. So let's review that. But we'll be back next week with our Soul episode. Follow us on social media. Galaxy Wars Podcast. Listen to The Active Geek on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And here's $20. Buy yourself something nice.